It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're continuing the study in the book of Joshua. That's Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to read the chapter, and so please that you would follow along. I hope that you can open your Bibles and enjoy the study today with me. If you're traveling or getting ready for church, whatever you may be doing, why please that you listen very carefully. I think you'll enjoy the study today, and sure hope that you do, and hope it's a blessing to you, that we can grow more and more like the Lord Jesus. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Joshua chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, And there came men unto me, but I was not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I would not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them, after the way to the Jordan, unto the fords. And soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them up on the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sidon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I show you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for your lives. If ye utter not this our business, and if ye be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she led them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And the man said unto her, We will be blameless at this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, that thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou dost let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made upon us to swear. And she said, According to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now after the reading of the second chapter of Joshua. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and study this precious word. I just thank you for this time together. I ask that you'll direct us and show us your way and show us your will. Please, dear Lord, this is a wonderful, wonderful study, and so please just show us every part of it. Those, dear Father, that are listening today that do not know you as their Savior, please that they be saved today, that they'll listen to this and listen to the power of God and come to you by faith. And Father, for all that are saved, just have this to be a blessing and show us your strength and your power, dear Lord. It's just wonderful each day to serve and praise and honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This wonderful study of Joshua that we've just really gotten into, just got started with, is a wonderful study. And as we begin here with this second chapter, we find that Joshua is about to send two men to view out the land. And we have that here in this first verse. Joshua sent two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. In that first verse, to begin with, we want to kind of take a look. You know, 38 and a half years ago, 12 spies was sent into the land. Now we find that Joshua is sending two men into the land. And we know and we remember that the first time that they sent the 12 spies, that it was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have been. They should not have sent those spies into the land. Well, how about now? Is this a mistake now that Joshua is making? Is he sending these two men in to spy out the land? We have looked up at Scripture, and we have seen that it was a mistake, again, 38 and a half years before, when they were at Kadesh Barnea. But now, Joshua is sending just two. What's the difference? There's a big difference. The first time, the people wanted to go see if they were strong enough and powerful enough to take the land. That's what they were going for. Can we do it? That was their question. The second time, when these two men go in and sent by Joshua, they're not going to see if they're powerful enough and strong enough to take it. They're going into the land to see how to do it. That's their purpose. How are we going to enter into the land across the Jordan? So now with this in mind, let's take a quick look. And I don't know if you're able to open to the back of your Bibles and see the maps, or if you've got a good set of of maps of the Holy Land, but I hope that you do. And if you do, why, it is really interesting to see the map that the area that they have from leaving Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, coming all the way down to Mount Sinai, the lower part of the Sinai Peninsula, and then coming and circling up and coming to Kadesh Barnea. Now, that only took a year and a half to accomplish that, to get to Kadesh Barnea, and that's where they sent the 12 tribes up into the land. And when they sent the 12 tribes, we know two came back with, yes, with God on our side, we will take this land. Let's possess it. They weren't a bit concerned about the people or the cities and how they were walled and how they were armed and things of that sort, because Joshua and Caleb knew that God would deliver them. But the other ten didn't. They're men of unbelief. They did not trust God. They looked at the circumstances and decided that they couldn't do it. Well, in that disbelief, in that unbelief, God turned them aside, and 38 and a half years later, we find ourselves over here straight across the Jordan from Jericho, and we're on the east side of the Jordan, awaiting to enter the land. And so I wanted to remind you about this situation, this circumstances, this what has happened to Israel, because the people in the land of Canaan, they 430 years earlier had Abraham. 38 and a half years earlier, from this time when Joshua was standing on the east side of the Jordan right now, 38 and a half years ago, they were aware of the witnesses of the 12 that came into the land to see what the land looked like. And so my point of all this is that for 430 years, the land of Canaan has had an opportunity to repent and come to the Lord Jesus. 38 and a half years to do that. But you see, they have chosen not to. So when it comes to the time and God's destroying these, please don't be a bit concerned that they didn't have a chance, because for 430 years, they had a chance. For 38 and a half years, they had a second chance. So keep that in mind as we're looking at this. Now, the second time, they did not come to Kadesh Barnea. They crossed over and turned at the southern tip of the Dead Sea, and have come up through Moab, through Edom, through Moab, and now we're finding we're at the in the land of the Amorites. So that's where we're at. We're at the land of the Amorites. And so now that we have found our way there, and we are camped, as it says in the scripture here, that Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men. And so it doesn't really show on the map where that is located, but we do know where Jericho is located, and so it's easy to come just straight across the Jordan River and find them encamped on the east side of the Jordan. So we have them right there, right now. And again, the differences between these two is, one came to see if they were strong enough to take the land. The second time that they went in with the two spies, this time, right before they go in to possess the land, they're not going in to check to see if they're powerful enough and strong enough. They're just looking to see how to do it. And so there is a big difference between the two. Now let's take a look at the next person. We looked at the two spies. Now there's another individual that's in this first verse, and this person is Rahab. And Rahab the harlot. You may refer to that as Rahab the prostitute, and that's another term for that. Rahab. Let's see what we know about Rahab. We know her livelihood, so to speak. We know she was a citizen of Jericho. We also know, because of some verses of Scripture in the New Testament, that Rahab was a believer. Maybe not at this time, immediately upon coming to there, but we've got those beautiful words we've already read. I hope that you're listening. And I apologize that I don't read very well. So I hope that ahead of time, knowing you're going to be here, that we would that you have pre-read this, and if not, why you please read it after the study today. But this woman named Rahab, again, a citizen of Jericho, a harlot, and we find listed in the book of Hebrews, and there's a chapter that some call it the Heroes of Faith, and that, of course, is the 11th chapter. You'll find Rahab at the 31st verse of that chapter. And it tells us, by faith, the harlot Rahab, so it didn't take away her who she was, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, it is not that Rahab is someone special. Rahab was a sinner. She was a wicked woman, just like we are wicked and sinful, and we need a Savior. The only thing that makes Rahab any difference is the opportunity of faith, and she grabbed a hold of that faith that was offered to her, and she believed. That's the important thing. Faith can do the same thing for us. Faith to Rahab meant salvation. Faith to us can surely mean salvation if we just come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So that's just a small summary. We don't know a lot about Rahab, but we're going to get to know some things here. Next, we're going to look at a third individual, and that individual is the king of Jericho. Now, we're not told much about the king, other than undoubtedly he was aware that the threat of to them, to the king of Jericho, to the residents of Jericho, the enemy was right at hand. The enemy was right across the river. And they must have been paying attention. This large number of people, you know, anywhere from 1.5 to 3 million people have found their way. You know, it could be a million, whatever number you want to pick, but a very, very large number of group of people is camped over right across the Jordan and had been there for a period of time. They were carefully watching them. And we know that because as soon as two men were sent over, the king knew about it. They were watching and watching so carefully because even two men did not go unnoticed as they entered into the area. They also not only knew that strangers was in the land, enemies, so to speak, to these people, as far as they were concerned, they not only knew that they had come, but they knew who they were from Israel, and they also knew where they went. So they had close eye on them when they come across and they came into the land, however they ventured into the land. Did they cross in a boat? How'd they cross this river? They came, and they were not hidden. They knew, even no matter how quiet these two spies. Now, notice spies, and so we know that they were trying to come undercover to be unnoticed, and yet we find that very quickly. It was told the king of Jericho, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." So there's three things, actually, we know. who they were. The king knew who they were. The king knew where they went. And the king knew why they were there. And so, now we come. And verse 3. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. There was no question. The question wasn't asked. Did two men pass by? Did you see a couple of men that were strangers to the land? They were Israelites. Did you see them? That question wasn't there. They came right to Rahab's house and says, we want the two men that has come into the land. Their intent was to eliminate these spies. They were not going to allow any kind of a report back home. So you see, the king knew who they were, where they went, and what they were there for. So I want you to keep this in mind. As I said earlier, they had 430 years to repent. This is a land of Canaan, including Jericho. They had 38 and a half years. A second call came their way. They had that time to repent. And so let's look at those times. And were they aware of who these people are? Were they just someone that showed up on their doorstep and they didn't know who they were or anything about them? We're going to find out that that's not true at all. They knew all about them. Another point that these people of Canaan and the residents of Jericho are without excuse. Are without excuse. Okay, let's continue now. And let's look at what Rahab had to say. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I don't know where they were. They came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out, and where the men went, I don't know. You can find that in the fourth and fifth verse. Now, the very beginning of that verse, it tells us that Rahab hid them, and then she turns to those of authority and tells them that, I don't know. You know, before the gate was shut, they left. I don't know where they went. Rahab lied, didn't she? Is it okay to lie if it's to the best interest of everything? Well, one thing I want to look at here, and that is that remember Rahab's life, and for her to add to lie on occasion, there wouldn't be anything real serious about it as far as she was concerned. I don't believe at this time that Rahab is saved. She not only lied, but she also put her own life in jeopardy. Because, you see, when you lie to the authorities, and the authorities wanted these two witnesses, these two spies, these two people that Joshua had sent in, and to lie about that was not to her advantage. You know, usually when we lie because it helps us. Well, in the case of Rahab being a citizen of Jericho, you would think for her to give these two men up would have been the best thing for her. But we're going to find that Rahab knows an awful lot more than you'd think she does. Okay, she put her own life in jeopardy. Why would she risk her life for two men that she had never met before, didn't know, and actually is an enemy of hers? Why would she do this? Again, in verses 6 and 7, it says, when she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof, the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. By shutting the gate, it was evident that they would have to stay there all night, these two spies. They believed Rahab, the officials. We don't not told how many came to see, but I'm sure that there were quite a number of them because they didn't want these two to escape. And they believed Rahab, and they chased back towards the Jordan, thinking that they had just missed them, and they were on their way back home, and so they checked the whole area. And so Rahab not only lied, but now we find that she also disobeyed a command. Where are these men? And she says, I don't know, but she did. We need to understand to begin with, and that is that when there's a conflict between God and man and their rules and their ways, we should always choose God. We should always choose God. And this is a time that Rahab did. She chose the men of God, even though they were total strangers to her and enemies of her, we would think. Now, let's see what Rahab has to say here. It's a beautiful part of the scripture, and we're just, you know, the time zooms by so fast, and so we'll really kind of begin here. But let's take a look now at verse 8. And before they had laid down, in other words, while they were hiding upstairs on the roof, she came up to check on them. And in verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Rahab knew the condition of the land, the city and the land. Now, do you see the power and the conviction and the witness that has come from this large number of people sitting on the east end of the east side of the Jordan? Do you see what has taken over? Let me read this again. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Number one, I know that the Lord had given you the land. They don't even know God. But look what she knows, and also what the people realize. I know the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us. Fear, all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They have just, there is no strength, there is no power. It's just like they're already defeated. Look what happens when two men go in with the right mind and the right heart. We just want to see how we're going to do it. There's no question about whether we are. But look at the doubters as they went in 38 and a half years later. When they entered the land, they went in seeking to see if they could do it. Look at the difference. Two men, same number of people, maybe more, sitting at Kadesh Barnea waiting to come up. Had no effect on the city or the land or the people. Now two men go in, and they says, let me read it. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Look what Rahab understood. How many others understood, we don't know. That your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. Oh, that was 38 and a half years before. You don't think they didn't understand that earlier, 38 and a half years before that, when they were sitting at Kadesh Barnea waiting to come in? You know, understand that the land of Canaan is not ignorant to what God's going to do, but they are just ignorant in the line of coming by faith. They refuse to trust in Jesus as their Savior. Are you the same way? Much of this land that we live in is. They do not fear God. These people feared God, and they still refuse to come by faith. We're going to find that Rahab's going to be different. What a beautiful, beautiful study. I hope, my friend, that you join us next time. And I'm going to ask that wonderful question, what are you going to do about Jesus?